And I think that for people that are spending a lot of money in dentistry and are already either nervous or nervous to spend the money, whatever that looks like, it's very comforting to them to have somebody that will walk along like this phase with them.
Welcome to the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries, where we explore implementing the 3D dentist systems from a team perspective. Join me, Meredith, and my co-host, Aubrey, as we share insights on cultivating growth and support within your dental team.
Whether you're new to the dental field or a seasoned pro, our podcast dives into topics like effective team dynamics and patient care strategies. Expect engaging discussions and expert insights to elevate your dental practice.
So hit subscribe and join us on this journey to transform your practice with the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries.
And like always, keep flossing and stay bossing.
All right. Welcome back to the 3D Dentist Team podcast, The Dental Diaries. I'm Aubrey, and I am joined today by Jess.
Yes.
One of our amazing dental hygienists and now full-time treatment coordinator.
Yes. It's weird. I feel like I'm foreign to hygiene now.
It's like, oh, what is a prophy? I don't remember. I know. Same, honestly.
Same. You are too.
So today I wanted us to jump into talking about the role of a treatment coordinator and what that looks like now, and then also what that looked like when you were first starting, because I know we have a lot of doctors out there that this role of a treatment coordinator kind of sounds and feels like a scary position to move a team member into, because it's like, well, what are they going to be doing? How is that going to bring value? Mm-hmm. What if they don't have anything to do? Yeah. So I just want to talk through, you know, what that looked like for you and, gosh, how it's evolved over the last couple of years.
Yes. Well, in full transparency, I mean, we didn't really have, I would say I was more filing into your shoes initially as
hashtag replace yourself.
Yes. So when I was transitioning out of hygiene, I really didn't know what my plan was. It was intimidating. I was nervous. I was very numbers driven. So like, I say this without ill intent, but like, I did feel like I was above average when it came to like me and the rest of the hygiene group and just hygiene team members in general.
With paying attention to like your numbers and being more aware of the production side of things.
And so I was nervous as I was transitioning out of hygiene that I would lose people looking up to me with
the uniqueness that you had created in that role.
So I struggled with that a little bit. And then also, I mean, I did just have to figure out like what that even looked like for me long term. Like, am I going to still be, am I going to take work home with me? Am I going to be working more hours? Is it going to wake me up in the middle of the night because I forgot to do something? And so I was kind of nervous about that side.
Yeah. So initially when we were first starting and introducing softball pitching the idea to Jess, it was like I still want to do hygiene. So let's just start out with a day or two of treatment planning.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of against it. I think you guys saw it in me before I saw it in myself. And that was kind of why I was against it, because I wasn't confident. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the biggest thing, hesitance for me, is that I felt confident in the role that I was in. And then I knew that there would be a learning curve for me in this new role. And so it was outside of my comfort zone a little bit. So I was kind of telling Dr. Selly and Aubrey, like, and Dr. Rick, I was like, I'm willing to give it a try, but I do like want to transition slowly if this is what I need to do. And so we just started with one day a week. Like, I was just doing treatment coordinating one day a week. So I would have hygiene, what was it, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday, I would see patients for consults. Mm-hmm. It was also in a growing phase for us where we didn't really have the external marketing that we do now. So we didn't have the room for like people to come in for full consultations, like full time. So it was very gradual.
Mm-hmm. So we started at one day a week just to get her feet wet and get her comfortable with it. And I think this is important too for doctors to appreciate, because it doesn't have to be this, you know, all or nothing transition. Yeah. It can be. And I
like
believe that it's
turkey.
Like, I believe that there are things, plenty of things that a treatment coordinator can do with a full-time role, but it doesn't have to be that for the team member or for the office if it doesn't feel right in the moment. Yeah. So I think for you, that's what it took for you to see like, oh, I I am good at this. And it's basically like I'm being a hygienist, but just not doing the prophy.
Yes. Well, and that was where, like, I appreciated you guys being willing to let me go on my pace. Because if it were up to Sully, he would be like,
go big or go home.
Yeah. Can I just like get you for one more day doing consultations? And I do think that's where some people are fearful and struggle with the transition, because I've seen a lot of doctors be like, this is a black and white, like you have to do this full time. Like you can no longer do hygiene or you can no longer assist. You have to be consults like full time. And so, of course, anybody who's transitioning out of a role that they were most comfortable in.
Yeah. Well, Anne, can you imagine? I mean, that's what we went to school for. So it's like, okay, so you're asking me to just not do my career for the rest of my...
I went to school for this for 4 years.
It'd be like asking a dentist to never do dentistry again and just talk to patients.
Yes, exactly. So I think that that's where I see a lot of people struggle, like, you know, with 3D or even like dentists in general.
Yeah.
Because they push beyond someone's comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes. And I think there's a rhyme to that saying, but there's also like, you have to do it on your own terms too, mm-hmm. to be confident and to be happy with that role.
Yeah. So we started out with 1 day a week. Mm-hmm. Quickly, that evolved into 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Then what was happening was that she was having these patients that were calling back to like move forward with treatment while she'd be in hygiene.
Yeah.
And so then she started realizing like, shoot, this is like almost more of a pain because now I'm playing phone tag and going into this vortex of, you know, phone calls.
I ended up working more because I was like in a prophy. So I was like playing phone tag with people that were trying to call to schedule or even just had logistic questions that I was the only one really that could answer. I mean, other people could probably try to dig through stuff and like figure out what we talked about to try to answer it for the patient. But I just didn't feel like I was able to advocate for them as I would tell them during the consultation. So I was just getting frustrated, honestly, with the role. And then I finally was like, I just need to get out of hygiene.
Yeah. So it was really cool because I think at that point, too, you saw like, okay, as a hygienist, when I thought I was like killing it with crushing numbers, which again, hygienists play a critical role in the practice just with being like the foundation for the business and really the engine behind like filling our doctor's schedule.
Yes.
But you were used to crunching your hygiene numbers. And then when you started seeing like, shoot, instead of doing, you know, 15,000 in hygiene production this month, I did 100,000 in treatment plan production.
Yeah.
You know, I think your numbers driven personality started seeing that. It was like, okay, this makes sense now.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like a lot of times with hygiene, like you have your patients and you get to see them every 6 months. You get to see like and talk with them about their different life experiences that they're going through and how they're growing as a fam, like whatever that is on their outside in their outside world. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to do that because I was only having 1 day of hygiene. So like I was just essentially getting patients on my schedule that just needed like cleaned up and moved on. So I wasn't able to create a relationship with any of these patients. I wasn't seeing new patients, which was, I think, what I loved the most.
And I mean, gosh, think about the, like, I think you were nervous that you weren't going to be able to build rapport with the patients that you do consults and planning appointments with, but you build it like so
like
much
now
more now.
People respect my role a lot because they need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm able to be a helping hand or, like, an integral part in their, like, future. So it's been good.
And, like, follow them through the process.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're the one that is helping set them up. And I think it's important, too, you said this a minute ago, but that you're the advocate for the patient. Like, we internally call it a treatment coordinator, but for the patient, like, we want that perception to be that they have this person that's walking hand in hand with them through the process, you know, logistically working out the kinks, making it work within their budget and timeline.
Yeah. Well, and like I told someone this morning in a consult, I was like, I'll be your point of contact. Like you can call the office. Most people can answer your questions. But like, you know, because I know specifics, like I'm more than happy to help out with anything I can. And I think that for people that are spending a lot of money in dentistry and are already either nervous to spend the money, whatever that looks like, it's very comforting to them to have somebody that will walk along like this phase with them.
It's a very emotional decision and investment for them to be making.
Yeah, whether it's cosmetic or implant, like whatever it is, they appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And now it's cool because you know, in hygiene, you would see them at their 6-month cleaning, like once treatment was done. But now you're really getting to follow up with patients yeah. through the process when they're coming in on the doctor side, mm-hmm. and then almost be that person that helps wrap things up too. Now that you've grown into your role, talk a little bit about how additional responsibilities have kind of, you know, fallen into the umbrella of the treatment coordinator with the marketing side of things.
So whenever I first started transitioning outside of hygiene, I was like looking to do more. And like I saw a niche in social media. There really wasn't anyone doing our social media at the time. And it was just now like starting to be where people were getting Instagram profiles for their offices and all of that. So we kind of started that a little bit, and I just kind of dug into that more, doing Facebook and TikTok and all of that. Now I'm doing more.
And initially that was really for the business. It wasn't as patient focused. It was more like, this is how much fun we have at our office and how great we are, you know, as a dental practice, but it wasn't really showcasing the patients as much.
Exactly. And now I'm doing, because of like most of my patients come from external marketing, I feel like in the back of my mind, I'm doing a lot more like to get people in the door. I'm also doing a lot of the website stuff, which you help out with that a lot too. And then also like patient testimonials, before and afters. I mean, inevitably, I'm seeing a lot of the bigger cases. And so I'm able to track the patients like through their process of like, this is when it started. This is when it ended. Do we have before pictures? Do we have after pictures? Like, has there been a reel made? Like, do they want to show back up for a commercial? Mm-hmm. So I've been able to kind of help out and organize through that stuff.
And working with the team, too, to see the big picture of why that's so helpful. Because sometimes we'll take pictures and, you know, clinically we're taking them to just check it off the list. And then we look back and we're like, shoot, these aren't even the same like series of pictures, or we don't have a good full face shot, but we have a good smile photo or whatever it is.
Well, and I think that was the learning phase that we were in too. Like, I was easily frustrated by that because I would wait like 6 freaking months to get like good after pictures of this huge case. And then they were like, excuse my language, but like shitty pictures. So I'm like, I don't understand why. And so I would get easily frustrated. But I mean, they just weren't seeing the big picture.
Yeah. Like, and all it took was you kind of explaining and showing them. And then the team was like, oh, okay, this is what we're using them for.
Well, and like on Instagram and stuff, like you want to see your case. Like if you were hands on in a big case with your doctor, like you want it to be showcased on social media. Mm-hmm. And so when we don't have good pictures, like I'm not putting it on social media. So that was big. And that was just part of our learning phase, honestly. Yeah.
So what would your advice be? Because I think a lot of, again, we have to kind of think back to what did this look like when we first started? Some of the fears and just apprehension that comes with it. I mean, essentially what I go back to is that for anybody that if say you were hiring somebody or transitioning somebody into the treatment coordinator role, there's an entire database. Like say they had no consults, no planning appointments, no nothing on their schedule. But there's an entire database of patients within your own practice management software, like people to just follow up with.
I was going to say, regardless of your practice management software, like you can run reports for
everything,
like everything, existing treatment. You can categorize it based on what crowns have been diagnosed and like is existing in the patient's chart. You can go through like chart review, chart audit, see who has like credits that can get scheduled for treatment. You can do follow-ups for like consultations that haven't shown up. And then also, I mean, this morning I walked in, I have 23 tasks. So it's like, yeah, I have an hour and a half on my schedule that I don't have a patient, but I've got 23 tasks. So,
yeah. For the like, week, because we use the follow-up system of the 2 days, 2 weeks, and 2 months.
Yeah.
So once you even build that clientele of consults and planning appointments, not everybody moves forward. I mean, I would say half maybe move
Very
forward.
Few people move forward immediately.
The same like day.
In the office. Yeah.
So then that means that you have this log of patients to still follow up with when you have those no-shows or you have those cancellations.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for the doctors to remember that right now, if you don't have a treatment coordinator, there's no follow-up system really internally for your patients to fill your schedule.
Even from even from like Invisalign for us, like most of our Invisalign patients come from the general practice, like hygiene or like limited appointments. And if they don't move forward initially, which is very, very common, like almost uncommon for them to move forward initially same day. Currently, like there was a time that there were no follow-ups being made for these patients. So no, like, two-day, like, hey, I know we talked through this at your last visit. Like, is there any questions that you had for me? Like, none of that. It was just 6 months later, and then there were other things on the patient's mind. Patient has different priorities, all that stuff. And I feel like we did drop the ball on quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
Initially.
For sure.
Just because we didn't have a dedicated person.
Well, and what, when you zoom out and you look back at what we're trying to accomplish with just the 3D concepts in general of moving patients from saying yes to general dentistry, but moving more into that advanced and emotional dentistry like bucket, I think that's when you really need an advocate for the patient, because there's so much more that's involved with the appointment, with the logistics. You know, there's lab cases, there's sedation, there's consent forms, there's financing and third party, you know,
payment plans.
Yeah. Third party and in-house payment plan options. It's so much more involved. So if we don't have that person, then that means that our office really is just going to continue scheduling single tooth or quadrant dentistry at best, because there's not time in the day for somebody to work through that with the patient. And the patient can sense it, you know?
Or it's just like, it shows that it's an inconvenience to us. And so
it's like, oh, here's the sunbed application. Feel free to fill it out when you get home.
No. And I get it. Like, if you're busy and there's like 15 things that you're trying to do, it's inevitable that like sometimes it's a reflection of how you respond to things. And even if that's with the patient in front of you or not. And so I think it's super helpful even to have like us having Alexis or me, Raina, at one point, like it was super helpful to have somebody for same day stuff if they were ready to move forward. That way they had free time available to sit down with the patient and answer any questions and actually spend time with them to help advocate for them in the process.
Yeah. And so now looking at just what our treatment coordinator role has evolved into, it's really cool to think about. I mean, we have Jess, who is our full-time external marketing consult treatment coordinator. So she sees all of the patients essentially for Dr. Rick and Dr. Sully's schedule that are comprehensive in nature, basically all on X or just full mouth restorative cases. And then we have Alexis, that is our treatment coordinator for the general practice. She really handles all of our planning appointments. And when she's not helping with planning appointments, she's available for same day treatment plans. And then we even have Allie, who is when Alexis is tied up with planning appointments, Allie's available for same day treatment plans.
And helping fill the schedule. If something were to fall off, being able to reach out to people to get them in sooner. And she's still comfortable like going through the logistics side of that.
Yeah. And so what I think is cool is that that didn't happen overnight by any means. And that's even with three people dedicated to treatment planning with a team in the back that's even really comfortable doing a lot of treatment plans on their own. But I think what's really cool about it is that, again, we've really moved away from that single tooth dentistry mindset. And so now we are on a very routine basis, like calling for a treatment coordinator because patients are saying yes to quadrants or arches of dentistry, which is just really neat. So
one thing I would add to just anybody who's transitioning into this role or even like a new role is to not get discouraged. I felt like I would initially get super discouraged even with like treatment planning and hygiene if someone said no.
And you have to get used to the no's.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, I know, like deep down, regardless of whether it's with us or somebody else, that the patient will be happy with the procedure that we recommended or the treatment that we recommended. So like there's no pressure from me as far as like a selling point. It's really just coming from like, I know that the patient will benefit from this and I'm confident in the results that they're going to have. And so the more confidence that you can have, the more the patient sense that. And then also just not taking things to heart. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's people's teeth. It's a big deal. So regardless of what you're treatment planning.
And we always go back to the 95-5 rule too. Like 5% of patients will say yes to everything, but 95% will not. And they'll just say yes to some of it. Yeah. So we have to be okay with that. And I think that is an important mindset shift, because when we hear a lot of no's, we take it personally or start to think like, oh, shoot, what did I say? Or did I not convey it or educate them enough, which is not what we want to do.
Yeah. And I would be lying if I said I don't still have like moments of like, gosh, like, why didn't they just close immediately? Is there anything I could have done differently?
Yeah.
And it's always good to self-reflect on those things, but it's sometimes just not realistic for people to move forward immediately.
And rather than, I always like the, it's not a no, it's just a not yet. Like maybe the timing just isn't right now.
When y'all talk about this a lot of like just planting the seed. Mm-hmm. Like I know that there are a lot of people that come in for planning appointments or consultations or even just like new patient hygiene visits that we plant a seed and they're not ready immediately, which is fine. They just want to see what their options are. And then when the time comes, like they're ready, then they will call us.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing that I want to mention, because we talk about like Jess tracks her case acceptance quite a bit and just, you know, her numbers. She's got a spreadsheet of all of her follow-ups and patients that have moved forward. But one thing that we hear quite a bit that doctors will say is like, oh, we have great case acceptance. But what I think is important to look at is that what is the average of your case acceptance? Yeah. Because if you have a really high case acceptance percentage, then that may mean that you're not presenting enough dentistry for patients to say no to.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of dentistry that we want to be doing more of.
Ellie always says like, what is it, 10% or like?
Yeah, 10 to 20 maybe. Like,
yeah. I think I've treatment planned like almost 3 million and I haven't closed but like a fraction of that.
Yeah. But like imagine, that's, and that's in a quarter, you know, yeah. So just treatment planning 3 million will lead to way more than what it would if we were just presenting single tooth dentistry treatment plans.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important reminder, but you got anything else you want to add to the treatment coordinator role before we wrap up?
No, just to be confident and ask questions. Be willing to like be uncomfortable for a period, even if there's a moment that you have hesitance of like transitioning into this role. I would be lying if I said every day was easy, but it's very fulfilling and I find a lot of reward in it.
Yeah, and be okay with recording yourself.
Yeah.
That was definitely an uncomfortable thing in the
like
beginning.
Twitching my legs.
Yeah. But it really is the best tool to hear yourself back or see things that you say and do that you're like, oh, yikes, I just scared the patient away with that comment. Or like maybe I wasn't giving enough empathy in that one or, you know, whatever it is. So I think recording is a great tool to use, even if it's just voice memos on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
When you're first starting out, that help. Help get you more comfortable.
I'm in the same room as Aubrey, so she gets to hear all my phone calls. And afterwards, she's like, you could have said this, but...
That's not true.
No, but you're probably thinking that at sometimes. You're like, dang, you could have worded that a little differently.
No. We can... That's what's hard. Communication is something we'll never be perfect at.
No.
So we can always work on that and fine-tune it. But yeah, I think you're great.
I will say, though, like, over the last couple of years, as I've, like, gotten into this role, my communication has changed, like, for the good.
Well, I mean, that's your full-time job now, so.
But even, like, in my personal life, too. Yeah. I'm like, dang, that sounded really
good. Who am I?
Yeah, that's funny.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. I hope this was helpful for you guys to just hear more about Jess and her role as a treatment coordinator. I'm sure that we will dive into that role even more with future podcasts. But please make sure that you follow along and comment on this if you've got any questions. And don't forget to keep flossing and stay bossing.